Amen. So yesterday, we only took up five words for those of you who were not here. The Lord is my shepherd. And we talked about the kind, merciful, wonderful nature of the Lord as our shepherd. We talked about how good he is, how loving he is, and we talked about the fact that there's other shepherds in this world that aren't that way. But our shepherd, the Lord, if he is your shepherd, because David said the Lord is my shepherd, it was very personal to him. And I'm sure that there are many people in this audience today who have never said, Lord, I want you to be my shepherd. I'm willing to be your sheep and do things your way. I'm committing to being your sheep. I'm sure that there's many in the audience who haven't ever done that. So for those of you who have, the Lord is my shepherd, is what David says. And he enters into this analogy, and he's going to keep this analogy going through most of the psalm, most of his poem here. For this message, I want to take up the next couple of lines of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. If you're reading the King James Bible, it says, I shall not want. It's just an old way to say, I'm not going to lack anything. And as you look at the psalm, David has an amazing confidence because he knows the shepherd that he's not going to lack, and he's not going to lack anything. And so the next couple of verses, he makes me lie down in green pastures. What does the sheep do in green pastures? Eat. One person who is very attentive this morning, that's good. A sheep lies down, and he eats in green pastures, and he lies down. And so David says he won't lack. He says he won't lack. He says he leads me beside still waters. What's another need for a sheep? To drink. So he's going to provide what he needs to eat and to drink. And then he goes on. He restores my soul. He knows the Lord's going to provide rest for his soul. A sheep needs direction in his life. Needs to know where to go. A sheep doesn't know where to go by himself. So he needs the shepherd to tell him where to go. Guidance. Direction. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you're with me. Your rod and your staff, the rod for protection. David looks into his future and he says, surely in my future, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's pretty bold. Could you look at your life right now and say, surely God's goodness and his mercy or his loving kindness will follow you all the days of your life? That's pretty bold. But David could say that because he knew the shepherd and he says he won't lack anything. And then lastly, he says, I'm going to dwell in God's house forever. You ever thought about where you're going to dwell forever? If not, today's the day. Maybe tomorrow morning. You're going to dwell in God's house forever. So David, who's been a shepherd since he was a little boy, if you go read the life of David, which if you've never done, I would encourage you to do. When they were trying to anoint a king, they bring all of the sons of Jesse there, and they are trying to find the king, and they were like, this isn't all of them, where's the other? And they're like, oh, there's only one more, it's little bitty David. But he's out keeping the sheep. So from the time he was a little bitty guy, he was out there keeping the sheep. So he knew the sheep and shepherd relationship. And though he had been a shepherd physically as an occupation in his younger years, he puts himself as the sheep through this whole analogy and says, I am the sheep and God is my shepherd. And because God is my shepherd and he's a good shepherd, I will never lack. And he has this amazing, quiet confidence in the shepherd. I want to look at a few things that that David says here. Now, this is analogy. So for those of you who've studied English, when you get into metaphors, similes, analogies, you're taking a physical truth, and it helps you understand something else, like a spiritual truth. And so David's using the analogy of a sheep and a shepherd to understand our relationship with God. And so throughout this entire analogy portion of the psalm or the poem, I'm going to be telling you what I think it means to you and to me. Because the Word of God is powerful. And not just when it was written 1,000 years ago, it's powerful today to impact your life. And that's what I want to see happen. So, we're in Psalm chapter 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, and because he's my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. And the first things that he says he will not lack is the things provided in green pastures and still waters. And so I want to look at that. Green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. For those of you who weren't here yesterday, as you drove into Turkey Hill, there's on both sides of the road, as you're coming in the main drive, there's green pastures up where the trees have all been cleared, and there's this lush green grass, and there's cattle out there, and they're eating. And they're being satisfied with that grass. We have, as I told you yesterday, we have a little ranch in West Texas. And it's a little over 1,000 acres. And so recently my brother came and he built a fence right across the middle of it. And he built a stock tank. We call it a stock tank. Maybe you call it a pond. He built a pond on this side and a pond on that side. Why would you want to cut your pasture right in the middle, right down the middle? Anybody know from an agrarian background? Well, two people know. Don, why would you want to cut your pasture right down the middle? That's exactly right. Sometimes you break it up into quarters. Sometimes you break it up. You break it up because you're going to have all the sheep grazing over here. You can just picture it. All the sheep are grazing. And Micah says sheep are smart. I've always heard sheep are dumb. I don't know the intelligence level of sheep. I know they're not as smart as pigs in my personal experience. You're going to be surprised pigs are smart. But the sheep, one thing that's different about a cow and a sheep is a sheep will graze all the way down to the ground. Cattle will eat a little bit and eat a little bit and eat a little bit, but a sheep will just eat all the way down, and they're going to stay very close to the source of water. They're going to find a spot they like, and they're just going to eat there. But they'll graze all the way down to where it's not even healthy for the grass. So a good shepherd, or in my case with cattle, a good rancher, breaks up the ranch into different portions, and you rotate. So they're eating here for 2 or 3 weeks. You rotate them over here, and then this grass has a chance to grow. It has a chance to seed. It has a chance to fill in. And you keep your land healthy, but even more importantly, you keep your sheep healthy. We talked about yesterday how a good shepherd does what is good for his sheep. He feeds them well. Sheep will eat anything. I don't know if you know about goats. Goats will eat anything. They'll eat poisonous plants, they'll eat whatever. A shepherd has to know his field and go and pull the things out of the field that would be bad for the sheep so that they don't get sick, so they don't get twisted stomach, get cast, roll over. And sheep are like, that's crazy. They're sitting there and they get up on a hill and they get real fat and they get all this wool. And if it's in an odd situation, you can Google it on your phones after this message, cast sheep. They actually can get rolled over where their feet are straight up and they can't roll themselves back over. There's 1,000 pictures out there on Google and there's videos. They walk up, but if a sheep stays in that condition, cast, they'll die. So a good shepherd knows the condition of his sheep and he knows the condition of his fields and he breaks his fields up. And it's the shepherd's job to lead the sheep into green pastures. And what do they do in green pastures? They eat. And they eat. And they eat. And then they lie down in green pastures when they're nice and full and satisfied. And so David says here when he's thinking about his sheep, he's thinking, the Lord takes me where I need to go so that I can be full and so that I can be satisfied. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, it's a curious phrase. He makes me. Every translation. I don't know, there's probably 10 translations out there in the audience. I bet almost every single one says, he makes me lie down. It's really curious to me. Whenever I was studying this, I was like, God, why did you say it that way? Does the Lord make you do anything? Is the Lord like a taskmaster who drives you? It's not like a cattle farmer where he's driving you from the back on a horse, driving you. He's like a shepherd. He's out there leading you into green pastures. But then when you get in the green pastures, it says he makes you lie down. Why does he say he makes you lie down in green pastures? You know, I don't think it's about the Lord forcing you to lie down. I think it's about the Lord making the conditions just right to where you can lie down. If you know about livestock, if they're spooked, they won't lie down. If they're afraid, if there's predators, if there's wolves, coyotes, mountain lions, any predators in the field, and they can see or sense any danger, they won't lie down. They'll run around. Sometimes they'll run themselves to death. They'll herd over in a corner. So if they're hungry, they won't lie down. If they're thirsty, they won't lie down. If they're afraid, they won't lie down. Think about that. The Lord, the shepherd, makes them lie down in green pastures. The shepherd organizes all of these events to where they feel perfectly at peace, to where they can lie down in a lush green pasture, trusting in the shepherd. I ask you a question. This is gonna, I want you college students, I want you career-aged people. Raise your hand if you're in college or career-aged, post-high school. Hello. Now I'm speaking to the majority of the crowd. When is the last time in a spiritual way you can say you honestly lay down in green pastures? Let me just say that's hard. It's hard. When is the last time that you were so at peace in your soul that in a spiritual way you could say you were just lying down in green pastures, resting, knowing that the shepherd was protecting you, knowing that the shepherd had provided everything you need in a spiritual way, and that your soul and your spirit was at perfect peace? I told you I'm not going to beat you with the conviction stick, but let me just say, in my life, too oftentimes, I'm a working professional. I have a real estate development company. We build shopping centers and restaurants, and we have employees, and there's always concerns. There's always so much to do. I've got five kids. Who in here has five kids? Well, there's a whole lot of college students, a whole lot of career, but nobody has five kids. Let me tell you, that's a lot of stinking kids. They got football games, and they got tennis matches, and they've got to go out to the corn maze with their friends, and they have all these places they've got to be. And you're running around trying to be an A-plus parent and be an A-plus college student or an A-plus business owner, and you're racing and racing and racing and racing, and you look back over the last month and you say, when did I lie down in green pastures and just spend time beside my shepherd? When was I that little sheep, that little lamb, that with a very full belly being satisfied in the Lord? I didn't lack anything. I knew I was safe. My belly was full of his goodness, and I just pulled up close to the shepherd, and I was just at peace. A lot of you college students think, man, I don't know if I've done that in years. Working professionals, I don't know if I've just sat down in green pastures and just enjoyed God's goodness and just been at peace in my soul in a long time. But that's what David says here, that the shepherd is providing for all of his sheep. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you feel like you're the sheep of the shepherd, Jesus Christ, it's his will that at times you would lie down and rest, that you'd be at peace in your soul, not running about all the time, so busy that you forget about him. Not that you're running along the fence lines, worried about what's on the other side of the fence, wondering if it's what's better than the green pastures you're already in. I had some goats one time. We lived on this little 15-acre place, and I had this fence line. My kids wanted some animals, so I got them some goats. And I've got this amazing picture, which I should have brought, of all of the grass on this side of the fence was like lush and it was beautiful and some of it was eaten a little bit. But on the other side of the fence, it was eaten all the way down to the ground. So my goats actually stuck their heads through the fence and went down to eat the grass when there was grass. I was like, what a perfect picture of the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Are we like that with the shepherd? Are we always looking at the other side of the fence thinking, man, it's nice to be in the shepherd's field, but what is it like on the other side of the fence? Or are we lying down in green pastures? I just want you to take a note for those of you who are taking notes. I want you to go back and meditate and think about lying down in green pastures with the Lord and being at peace in your soul. What a blessed state. I'm an American. I'm as American as any person you've ever met, probably. And I moved to Honduras. And Honduras is not like America. Does anybody know where Honduras is? South of Mexico, south of Guatemala, north of Nicaragua. And when I got there, the people would always say, Brady. They really couldn't say my name, but they tried. Brady. Tranquilo. Anybody know what tranquilo means? Calm down. They like told me every week, multiple times a week, if we were out working on the church, if we were out doing whatever, they're like, Brady, tranquilo. I was like, Americans don't do tranquilo, okay? We do go, 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 go. We just have this need to run ourselves into the ground. It's like, that's because we're Americans. That's what we do. We go, 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 go. Maybe the Lord is saying, hey, little ovejas, tranquilo. Sheep, just lie down and enjoy the shepherd. Yesterday we reflected for 45 minutes on how good the shepherd is. Why don't we lie down and enjoy him a little bit? He doesn't stop in the field. He actually says he makes me lie down in green pastures. And then it says he leads me beside still waters. He leads me beside the quiet waters. You can picture it now. You've got this green meadow going up this little hill. And you've got all the little white sheep. And you've got the shepherd with his staff in his hand. And when the shepherd starts to walk, they know his voice. They follow him. And he leads them down by a river, down by a little brook. But not a rapid running river. Not turbulent. He leads them down by the place in the river where the waters are still. And they can all walk up and they can have a drink of some clean, refreshing water. Man, when I was growing up, we had these steers that we would have stock show. I was a FFA guy, and I'd have to show these steers, and it would freeze. In Texas, it freezes just like it does in Iowa and everywhere else up here. And I remember going out there like 6 in the morning before school, and we'd have to take something, a hammer or something, we'd have to break all the ice and then throw the ice out of the tub so that all of our cows could drink water. You can't last very long if you're not drinking water. Anybody who's dealt with livestock knows that the better source of water, clean water, good water, makes for healthy animals. I remember one time we were grazing our cattle on another guy's ranch. We had leased it out, and my dad drove over there. My dad came back furious, like fighting mad. Matter of fact, it might have ended in an altercation with this guy. Because when he got there, the only water our cattle had was this little mud pit, and they'd have to walk out in the mud all the way up to their underbellies and drink from a little mud puddle. And my dad got out there, and all of his cattle looked terrible. That's not what the Good Shepherd is doing with us. It says he leads us beside still waters. In a spiritual way, what is that? Let's turn over in our Bibles to John chapter 4. You know, Jesus loves analogies just like David loves analogies. John chapter 4, in verse 3, Jesus leaves Judea and he departs again to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. That's verse 4. He came to this city, and in verse 6, it says Jacob's well was there. Jesus, being wearied with his journey, he sat there on the well. It's about the 6th hour, not normally a time when somebody comes out to draw water, but there came a woman from Samaria to draw water in verse 7. Jesus says, give me to drink. His disciples had gone away to buy some food. And the woman from Samaria said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me, being a woman of Samaria? Jews don't have any dealings with us Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says unto you, give me to drink, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you living water. The woman said, sir, you don't have anything to draw with. She's not understanding his analogy yet. You don't have anything to draw with, and the well is really, really deep. How are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it, and his children, his cattle? Jesus, he's like, I really want you to understand my analogy. He says, whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. The water I give will be a well that springs up into everlasting life. The woman said, give me this water so I don't thirst and don't have to come here to draw. She still doesn't get it. Jesus uses this analogy that he says, ma'am, Samaritan lady, and he goes on to say, hey, go call your husband. And she's like, I don't have a husband. She's like, and Jesus knows her life. He knows all of our lives. And he goes, yeah, I know you don't have a husband. Matter of fact, you've had four men, and the man with which you're living, he's not even your husband. In other words, Jesus says, you're whatever it is in their text. I don't know. I just guessed. He says, and it doesn't really matter. You've had all these men, and the one you're living with now is not even your husband. And then she realizes, oh, you're a prophet. You know my history. You know my life. And then her eyes start to be opened that the water he was offering was not just physical water. It was something that would spiritually satisfy. Jesus goes to this woman who's a Samaritan, with Jews had no dealings, who had this super sinful past. And he said, you can come and drink of the water that I'm giving. Man, there's a whole lot of us in this room that have done things that are just terrible. But Jesus is sitting on the side of the well. He's the shepherd who's just going to lead you down beside still waters. And he's saying, you can put all of that aside and you can drink from the waters that I give and you can be truly satisfied. Amen. And so many of us are holding him off saying, no, I don't want your water. Look, turn over to Jeremiah. I'll tell you what I'm oftentimes like. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Go over to Jeremiah. So if you get back to Isaiah, you've gone too far. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. It's on page 752 in my Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 2, it says in verse 12, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be very desolate. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I'm going to explain that because there's a lot of analogy, a lot of metaphor in there. He says, my people have committed two evils. Number one, they've forsaken me. And God says he is the fountain of living waters. But his people have said, that's okay. I don't need what you're offering. I'm going to come over here and I'm going to take my shovel and I'm going to dig out this really deep pit in the ground and I'm going to fill it with my own water. I'm going to do it my way. And God says, those cisterns are broken and they hold no water. But the people keep going to these cisterns to be satisfied. When over here, God says, you could come unto me and I would give you water, everlasting life. I would give you water that would truly satisfy. Man, if I had a dollar every time I walked away from these living waters that God is offering that would truly satisfy my soul, and I come over here and I dig out this, and I'm thinking, maybe entertainment will satisfy my soul. Maybe media will satisfy my soul. Maybe relationships will satisfy my soul, the longing in my soul. Maybe I can fill the big, huge hole in my heart with a relationship of somebody of the opposite gender. Maybe I'll feel satisfied if I could date her, if I could be with him. What else do we look to for satisfaction? There's cisterns that don't hold any water. It's like you're that little proverbial rat running on that little proverbial treadmill going nowhere, thinking that the things that you have been looking to satisfy are ever going to fill the need of your soul for true satisfaction. But the shepherd is like, come sheep, follow me. He's not driving you. He's not picking you up and driving you over here and making you come and drink of this water, but he's sitting on the side of the well like Jesus was with the Samaritan woman. He's saying, come and drink. Drink of a well that will really satisfy your soul. Come and sit down in green pastures and drink of the water that I give and that longing that you have inside your heart for something substantial, something real, relationships that give back, a purpose in life. He's saying you can find all of that satisfaction in the water that I am giving you. Stop going to the cisterns of this world for satisfaction and come and lie down in my green pastures and rest. And I'll lead you down beside still waters and you'll drink of this water and you will feel a rich and a full life. And if we did a poll of all of us and said, how many of us are living the abundant life? Because we saw yesterday that I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, and I come that they might have life and that they might have it in abundance. If we did a poll and we said, how many of us are living a life that we say, our life's abundant, my life is rich and full, I've got fullness of joy. As my friend Chris Schroeder would say, I've got some pep in my step and some glide in my stride or something like that. Everybody who knows Chris Schroeder thought that was funny. He's like this huge bald guy. He's a really good guy. But here's the deal. We feel comfortable over here because it's our default. It's our nature. But Jesus is calling. The good shepherd is like, you know my voice. Come. Come. Walk with me. And I will give you living water that will truly satisfy. Man, I know the souls of the people in here that are truly of the shepherd. Their souls desire it. And maybe you haven't experienced it this week or last week or last month. I was sitting down with a dear brother in Christ recently. He said, man, I've lived 25 years of my Christian life and never really known and loved God. I've always been so busy with service and with this and with this and with that. I've never been happy to abide with him in prayer and to sit down in green pastures. He goes, I'm really glad you're preaching on this because 25 years of my life, I was busy, but I wasn't in love with the Lord. And the true sheep of the shepherd that are in here right now, there's a yearning in your heart because it was put there by God in the new man, in your new nature, given to you by God. Deep in your soul and in your spirit, you say, yes, that's what I want. And Jesus is calling. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I'm going to close early again to where you can pray again. Matthew chapter 11, New Testament parallel to this concept in the Psalms. Let me just say that the shepherd loves to see. It just gives so much tremendous satisfaction to the shepherd's heart to see the sheep laying down in the green pastures, fully at peace and fully at rest, drinking of the water and being satisfied. The shepherd loves to see his sheep healthy. He works so hard to lead them into the right pastures, to rotate his flocks amongst the pastures. The shepherd just loves it. That's what Jesus, as the shepherd, wants for all of us. He genuinely desires that. And he says here in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, says in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You know, if it was in the Bible on the street, you know, the new version or something like that, it would say, come unto me, all you Americans who are addicted to activity, who are addicted to go, 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 go,
come unto me. Sometimes that's in the world and sometimes that's in the church, and it's just so much activity. He says, come, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He would love to see you enjoying rest in your soul. And he invites you. Today, he invites you, come unto me. He's standing here by the well. A lot of us are over in the cisterns. And he's saying, come unto me. All you that are weary, weary of trying to solve your problems your own way, weary of trying to do it all in your own power and by your own intelligence. He says, come unto me when you that are weary, you that are heavy laden. In this day, people were heavy laden with laws and rules of Moses that they could never keep, and they were discouraged. And I would be willing to guess that there's a whole slew of people in this crowd that have lived under a bunch of rules and laws themselves. And he's saying, come unto me, you that are weary and that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Get rid of the yoke that you've been carrying. A yoke is something that you put on an oxen whenever you want to pull something, and it's really, really, really heavy. And he says, take that yoke off and put my yoke on you. Come to work. Come to my work and learn of me. Jesus says, I am meek and lowly at heart. Isn't that what we saw yesterday, last night, for those of you who are here? The good shepherd, the amazing shepherd. Good doesn't even begin to describe it. The good shepherd left the glory of heaven and came down to earth. And that was just the beginning. And then he gave his life for the sheep. Sheep that were always going their own way. Wayward sheep, and he loved you. And to the same sheep that are going their own way, he says, come unto me. I am meek and lowly in heart. One of the most shocking verses in the whole Bible that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could say, I am meek and lowly in heart. But he is. He's a gentle and a tender shepherd who wants to take you in a personal relationship and coddle you and love you and grow you and see your wool nice and fat and sassy. He says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You could find rest for your souls. So many of our souls are over here on the little rat treadmill, running in life and never finding rest. And he says, step out of the rat race for a second. Come unto me, and you can find true rest for your souls. For those of you out there who have never genuinely, truly, personally accepted Christ as your Savior, he's inviting you today to put your faith and your trust in him and him alone for your eternal security, because your soul has no rest. And for all of you who have stepped out of that dead position and who have come to him, but the ways of this world and the rat race of life has just drawn you away from the side of the shepherd, Jesus, meek and lowly at heart, says, come unto me. He says, come unto me. He says, come unto me and be close to me, and you'll find rest for your souls. I can take care of your problems. I can take care of your past. I can take care of your pain. And he says, I will take all of your burdens and I will take them upon myself. So what he did on the cross already is he took our transgressions upon himself. And now he's saying, as your shepherd, I want to lead you into green pastures, because you're out there grazing in the desert of this world. And that's not what the shepherd wants for you. He wants you to lie down in green pasture, safe and secure, fat and sassy, satisfied. He wants to lead you down beside the river where the water tastes great. It's clear. He wants that relationship with him. He says, come unto me, every one of you that's weary and heavy laden with the ways of this world, and I will give your soul genuine, true rest. What an offer! What a shepherd! I told you about the guy that I talked to in Texas, and for those of you who weren't here, tragic. A couple of weeks ago, I talked to a guy, and I started this story last night, and I decided not to finish it last night. I think it's representative of the tragedies of this world and the taskmaster of sin and the destructive nature of sin. But a family member began to sexually abuse him when he was 6 years old and raped him all the way up until he was 12 years old. Told him it was a rite of passage into manhood. And the guy told me, genuinely said, I could never trust God like you trust God. I could never come unto God and know God like you know God. And my heart broke. Because I said, if you never come unto God, then you will never know peace. The very thing you're saying is keeping you from coming unto the one who loves you. He's the only one who can take your messed up soul and all your hurts and all your pains and give you true rest for your soul. He's not only the good shepherd, he's the great physician that can heal your broken hearts and make you whole. And that guy's in a terrible situation, and he's saying that situation's keeping him from the shepherd, not realizing that coming to the shepherd is the only way to have true and lasting peace and true forgiveness for the person who hurt him and violated him. Many of you have been hurt by people, religious people, non-religious people. Many of you are harboring bitterness and hurt towards those people, whether they were shepherds in some capacity or not, whether parents or family or elders or other religious people. Jesus is saying all that hurt and all that bitterness and all that pain, you can come unto me and you can have rest. You can have peace in your soul. Let's finish with the last portion back in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What does he do? He restores my soul. Oh, what a Savior. What a shepherd. What a wonderfully lovely and beautiful shepherd you have. He restores, David says, my soul. Think about David's situation. David is on the run from Absalom. So I told you yesterday, that's what Kyle and Delitzsch said is the context of this. His own son had driven him out of the kingdom and stolen the kingdom from him, and he had to walk out of Jerusalem while people were, Shammai or whatever, was throwing rocks and spitting and kicking dust at him, and he had to endure such shame. And David says, when he's on the run, he restores my soul. Is there anybody in this room who could use some soul restoration? Come to the shepherd. He is meek and lowly at heart. Come to the shepherd. Let's break up. We're going to 10:41 right now. We're going to break up and pray for those of you who weren't here last night. Instead of me praying for each one of you, you're going to pray for each other. And you're going to pray for yourself. And some of you say, but I don't know how to pray. It's not hard. Lord, I need peace and rest in my soul. Can you help me? I'm willing to lay down my pride and my arrogance and my cisterns, and I'm willing to come to your feet and do it your way, Lord. But I don't know how. Show me the way. It's not hard to pray like that. You just talk to God, and you just confess that in your heart you've been somewhere else, and you want to be with the shepherd because it's worth it. So groups of four. If you don't have four, do five. If you don't have five, do three. And just pray and ask the Lord to come and restore your soul.